Before Emma comes and speaks to us, I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the ways the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we will hear from you today. We thank you for your faithfulness over so many countless generations. We thank you for the way Moses heard you sending him. Help us to hear similarly this morning. Please speak to us through Emma. Amen. Emma.
Good morning. Morning. Right, excuse me while I just arrange my things. Right, is my mic on? Can everyone hear me okay? Good. Okay. I've never worn one of these before, so I made them promise not to turn it on while I was singing because nobody needs to hear that. Okay. So, good morning. Thank you for inviting me to come and speak to you today. Before we start, I just wanted... I know we have Elizabeth here this morning, but do we have any other current volunteers? Hello, Bart. Good morning. Could I just get any current volunteers to stand up just at the beginning of the talk? Okay. Hello. Good morning. Good morning. Right. So these lovely people here are volunteers with Hope Into Action. They are part of the Friendship and Support Group, which I know your church has... I know you're probably aware of some of the work that Hope Into Action do. So if you have any questions afterwards about what it's really like to be a volunteer, please come and talk to one of these lovely people and they will be able to tell you more about Hope Into Action. Okay, thank you. You can sit down there. Okay, so I'm really excited to share with you what I feel God has given me to share with you this morning. We've already heard from Moses. I'm just getting the same passage up in my Bible. My translation is slightly different from yours. I'm going to be reading from the Youth Bible, which is a slightly different translation, but not too dissimilar. So when the date was decided for Hope Into Action to come and give a talk to you today, God gave me a seed of an idea of what he wanted me to talk to you about. And I said, "Yeah, that's great, Lord, but It won't be me doing the talk. It'll be my colleague, Lorna. She's far more experienced than me. She's spoken at CBC before. You know, they know her. They really enjoyed her last talk. So thank you, Lord, but I won't be needing that idea. But God persisted, as he so often does. So I just stored those ideas in my head, still thinking, well, you know, I won't be needing them, but I'll just keep them there. And then the lovely Lorna left Hope into Action to move on to Pastures New. And I felt God just give me that knowing smile. And I thought, all right, God, I'll start listening. So I'm sorry Lorna isn't able to talk to you today, but I will do my best to try and convey to you what I feel God wants me to say to you this morning. So my experience of hearing what I felt was God speaking to me led me to think about what we do when we feel that God is calling us to do something. I wonder what your response is. Do we ignore that still small voice and pretend we didn't hear it? Do we acknowledge it, like I did, but say, not now, Lord? Or do we embrace it with open arms? In the Bible, we have many examples of people who God called, and we have lots of different responses. I wonder if your response is similar to Moses, who, when God called to him out of the burning bush, responded, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He, like me, didn't feel adequate enough for the task. So if we look more closely at the passage in Exodus 3, and I apologize now because I will be jumping around from verse to verse, and as I said, it's a slightly different translation. So if we look more closely at the passage, it says, one day Moses was taking care of Jethro's flock, and he led the flock to the west side of the desert. He came to Sinai, the mountain of God, and there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire coming out of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it wasn't burning up. So he said, I will go closer to this strange thing. How can a bush continue burning without burning up? And when the Lord saw Moses was coming to look at the bush, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. So Moses has acknowledged that this is God. He's acknowledged that this is something that he's listening to. And God said, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. As we prayed earlier, that was in the prayer we prayed earlier. And Moses covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. So Moses recognized that this was God, and he humbled himself before God. So he recognizes the power and authority that this voice has. And the Lord said, I have seen the troubles my people have suffered in Egypt. I've heard their cries when the Egyptian slave masters hurt them. I'm concerned about their pain, and I have come down to save them from the Egyptians. I will bring them out of that land and lead them to a good land with lots of room, a fertile land. So now I am sending you to the king of Egypt. Go, bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, I am not a great man. How can I go to the king and lead the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. This will be the proof that I am sending you. After you lead the people out of Egypt, all of you will worship me on this mountain. But Moses still had questions. When I go to the Israelites, I will say to them, the God of your fathers sent me to you. But what if the people say, what is his name? What should I tell them? Then God said to Moses, I am who I am. When you go to the people of Israel, tell them, I am sent me to you. And so God told Moses everything that he wanted him to say to the people of Israel and to the elders. And he told him in verse 18, the elders will listen to you. But then God says, I know the king of Egypt will not let you go. Only a great power will force him to let you go. So I will use my great power against Egypt. So God has told Moses that he will be with him. He's told him that his presence will go with him. He's told him that the Israelites will listen to him. And then Moses, moving on to chapter 4, Moses answered, what if the people of Israel don't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, the Lord did not appear to you? So even after all of those promises and those confirmations, he still has those doubts. So then God shows him miracles with Moses' staff and the walking stick, with his staff turning into a snake and then turning back again. Then he shows him another miracle with his hand becoming diseased and then well again. And even more, he says, after these two miracles, if they still do not believe or listen to you, take some water from the Nile River and pour it on the dry ground. The water will become blood when it touches the ground. And what does Moses say? But Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I've never been a skilled speaker. Even now, after talking to you, I cannot speak well. I speak slowly, and I can't find the best words. That's much like the argument I had with God when he gave me that seed of an idea. But God persists. God consists with that encouragement. He says, who made a person's mouth? Or who makes someone deaf or not able to speak? It is I, the Lord. Now go. I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. And then in verse 13, but Moses said, please, Lord, send someone else. So even after all of those promises and those confirmations, and those miracles that he's shown him, still Moses said, please, Lord, please just send someone else. And sometimes that's how we feel. Even though we've heard the voice of God, we recognize it's the voice of God in our lives, and we feel he's calling us to do something, and he promises to be with us, still we say, please, Lord, send someone else. And obviously we know that Moses did then go on to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He did become one of the most powerful and most influential leaders in the Bible. So I wonder what our response is when we feel God calling us to do something. If we look at Gideon, when the angel of the Lord appeared to him with a greeting, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. What an amazing greeting to have from God. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And he replied to God's call to save Israel. Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. I wonder if we feel like the youngest in our father's house. Maybe because we're a new Christian, or because we feel we lack the experience of others who've been part of teams and missions before. I'm the youngest in my family by quite some years, and I know sometimes I certainly feel this way. So I wonder if that resonates with you too, or whether there's something in our past, like Moses, that holds us back and makes us feel underqualified or inadequate to step up to what we feel God is calling us to. Or maybe we're like Samuel, who, prompted by Eli, responded to the voice of God with, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. But however we respond to God's call, we can be sure that he will be with us every step of the way. When I first started working for Hope Into Action just over a year ago, I came from a place of anxiety, a place of trauma, where I'd been in a very stressful job where I wasn't supported, or encouraged or valued. And when I first joined Hope into Action, I encountered a very different environment where every member of the team is valued and appreciated, where every person's opinion is listened to, and where I feel I can truly be myself. Hope into Action has grown me as a person. And the reason I am able to come and speak to you today is because of that loving, supportive, nurturing environment which has given me back my confidence. And it's that same loving, supportive, nurturing environment that we offer to our tenants and which enables them to grow and become the people God intended them to be. You may not see that growth or change in them straight away, and I want to encourage the current volunteers, as well as anyone who's thinking of volunteering today, just to have faith that you are making a difference. Our tenants do not always say thank you for the things we do for them. Sometimes they barely acknowledge our efforts. But don't underestimate the impact of your words or actions. I'm reminded of the diary entry of a preacher in 1930s America, with a very strange name, Mordecai Ham. I don't know if anyone's familiar with the name or the story. He held a failed revival meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, where only one person was saved. And the diary entry reads, only one 16-year-old was saved. Billy Graham was his name. And that 16-year-old boy went on to preach the gospel to more people than anyone else in history, leading 3.2 million people to Christ. And much has been written about the spiritual lineage leading to Billy Graham's conversion. It was a Sunday school teacher called Edward Kimball who persevered in prayer and led a young man called D.L. Moody to Christ. D.L. Moody, in turn, influenced F.B. Meyer, who then influenced J. Wilbur Chapman, which led to the conversion of Billy Sunday. And it was Billy Sunday's ministry that inspired a group of businessmen to invite Mordecai Ham to Charlotte in North Carolina. Now, we may not be familiar with all these different names, and they certainly weren't aware of the impact of their words and actions at the time. They were just following the call of God on their lives. So we too, like them, regardless of our background or our current level of self-esteem, and whatever our response is to God's calling, we can have confidence that God will use us and will work through us, just as he did with Moses and Gideon, just as he did with Mordecai Ham. Even though he felt he had failed, God sees things with different eyes. I want to read an extract from a wonderful book I bought recently called The Bird Who Sang Again by Judy Moore. And the book is about rediscovering your God-given voice. And the reason I found the passage from this book so powerful is because it speaks about those who are broken, those who have suffered so many setbacks in life that they don't know how to carry on, those who have lost who they are. And so often we find our tenants are stuck in the past, trapped by fears and anxieties from things that have happened to them that they struggle to process, and we struggle to know how best to help. And just as Hope into Action helped me find my confidence again, so as we work with our tenants, we help them see a way out of their fear, out of their anxiety, and we give them a hope and a future. This passage also talks about how God uses unlikely people to bring healing to others. I felt I was the unlikely choice to come and speak to you today. You may feel that you're the unlikely choice to get involved with Hope into Action. But the reality is that if God calls you to do something, he will equip you and give you the words to speak and the wisdom to know what to do. Whether that's being involved in a practical way, through joining the friendship and support group, or whether you feel led to give financially to Hope into Action, then that's something that, if you would like to, obviously we'll be out in the foyer if you want to talk to us any more about how to be involved that way. Or maybe you're unable to do either of these things, and all you can offer is prayer. There's been a lot of focus on prayer this week with a global week of prayer. I know you as a church have been holding special prayer meetings, as have our church. Never underestimate the power of prayer to change situations. And we need your prayers more than ever as we seek to help our tenants through the difficult situations that they encounter. So this is an excerpt from a chapter where the author talks about a friend of hers who was going through a deep bereavement and was really struggling with church and with answering that inevitable, well-meaning question, how are you? And it talks about one of the church welcome team, a man called Brian, who perhaps did not fit the usual mould of a smiling, welcoming team member, but who God was able to use just at the right moment. One Sunday, not long after Trevor's death, Lindsay made her brave but faltering way through our church car park. She stopped to pray. Please, Lord, just get me through the welcome line. Help me pass through invisibly immune to their smiling questions and well-meant inquiry. Lindsay walked through the entrance to the church and was greeted by Brian, who was, on this day, to be the beautiful messenger of Jesus, the answer to the prayer uttered just minutes before. Well done for being here today. And that was it. That was all Brian said. He had no idea about what had happened in Lindsay's life. He didn't know the pain she carried. He just sensed the voice of Jesus saying, well done for being here. And he said it. For me, this is church at its messy, most precarious best. When someone's song is muted, when we have lost the ability to stand, even to sing, God, I believe, sends us his messengers, his angels in human form, to help us, to cheer us on. Lindsay tells me that was truly the best thing anyone could have said to her that day in her grief. Yet Brian has no idea how his song lifted Lindsay. He has no idea that his calling, his purpose, was to be in the right place at the right time, ready to listen, to be used by God. And sometimes that's what we need most. Someone to say, well done for being here, for showing up to life, to work. Well done for getting dressed rather than staying in bed. Well done for holding on to faith when what has happened is such a pain-filled mystery. It can seem as if our song, our life, has stopped when grief or anxiety or depression or whatever we're going through comes along and takes our breath away. But God has promised to help us. He has said he is close to the brokenhearted and that he will send help. Sometimes we will be the one in need of that help, stumbling around in the car park, afraid to show up. But sometimes we can be the unknowing, unassuming messenger of comfort. The one whose song touched the life of another in the most profound way. We can be chosen not by man, but by God himself to sing. A bird in tune with its creator somehow just knows what to sing, and so too can we. There is a great deal of teaching in the Bible about the least and the last. Those who perhaps have been neglected or ostracized by community, finding a place, a purpose, and a home. And that's what Hope into Action offers to our tenants today. Unlikely people are the Bible's speciality. And Brian was the unlikely choice to bring God's loving kindness to Lindsay that day. We too can be the unlikely choice, even this very day, if we step up, like Brian, and say, I'm available, take my song and use it for someone else. Thank you. So thank you for...
Thank you, Emma. Are there any specific things that you feel we could be praying for Hope into Action?
Absolutely, yes. So at the moment, so Hope into Action, we have 11 houses across Portsmouth. And we, we need to pray for all of our tenants, really. At the moment, we're going through a period of change and transition in terms of staffing, of new people joining, and sadly people leaving, like my colleague Lorna. And we're also going through a period of change with our tenants, where we've had tenants leave us for different reasons, and we're looking for people to fill those spaces. So, yeah, a lot of prayer about those, that we find the right people, or God leads us to the right people to fill those spaces.
What are the backgrounds of some of your tenants?
Okay, so... all sorts of different backgrounds. So we have shared houses, we have family houses. So the shared houses, we have either female houses or male houses, all sorts of different backgrounds. Some of them are from a recovery background where they're overcoming addiction. Some of our female houses are those who have fled domestic abuse, domestic violence. We also have refugee houses, from people who have fled violence in other countries. So very different. And obviously, CBC support two houses. You've just recently taken on another house, so thank you very much for that. So they come from very different backgrounds, which means the situations and the experiences that the tenants have had can vary so much, which is why it's a really good idea to talk to some of the volunteers here and just... Yeah.
And what do you think is the dream, the vision for how somebody's life might progress over their time in a Hope into Action house?
Okay. So yeah. So we talk a lot about goals and about helping someone work towards those goals. So Hope into Action provides temporary supported accommodation with the view that if we give them that support and that encouragement, they will then become independent and then go on to their own independent living, independent tenancies. So that is the aim, the ultimate aim.
It's a great aim.
Well, it is a great aim, and it works. It works because not just, obviously they have us to help, they have empowerment workers like myself, but it works because we are linked with churches. And that is the difference between our model and perhaps other models that you may have read about or know about. It's the church that makes the difference.
The church is really
absolutely helpful. Yeah. It's the church that makes the difference because they offer that friendship and support to those people. Yeah.
Let's just pray for you, Emma, and for Hope into Action. Lord, we thank you so much for Emma and the Hope into Action idea of providing housing for these people in real serious need. Mm-hmm. Lord, we thank you that it's not just like a housing program, but it is extra. There's mm-hmm. the friendship that people from local churches can bring. Lord, we pray for the current tenants. Lord, we pray that you will heal them where they are. We pray that you will meet them and that they will experience something of your love for them through the fact that they're being housed, through the people that they share their time with, through Hope into Action and the church volunteers. Lord, we pray for wisdom for the charity organization as they think how to move forwards. We pray that this work will be able to continue and to grow and to bless and change the lives of more people. Mm. Thank you for Emma and the message that she's brought to us this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Emma.
And if I don't mention Elizabeth will have a go at me. If I don't mention the coffee morning, Elizabeth will be cross with me. So on Saturday, the 15th of November, here, we're having a fundraising coffee morning between 10 and 12. which is to raise funds.
And if you would also like to give mm-hmm. to the work of Hope into Action on our donor okay. machine, the card yes. machine that's just out there, you can select to be able to,
yes,
to give
spotted that. To, yes,
to Hope
brilliant.
Into Action this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Emma.
No, you're welcome.
As Emma was speaking, I was just thinking of times that God says that he's sending people. And when I was thinking of Moses, perhaps you might be like me. You think Moses he's like such a famous character. He's such a famous person. Maybe that's not really how it is with me, because you know everybody knows about the name Moses. But then you go to the New Testament, and Jesus says, "I am sending you." To ordinary people as well. So it's not just those sort of mega famous Moses type names. I just found a few passages, and now they've gone, haven't they? Bear with me, sorry. Jesus says in Luke chapter 10, "Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves." Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." In Matthew chapter 10, he says, "Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. Be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves." And this is a really powerful one. In Luke 24, Jesus says, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power." So when we are being sent, we are also powered and filled with the Holy Spirit to do the task that God has planned for us. Let's, as the band come up, let's spend a moment in prayer and reflection, thinking, where is God sending me? Where has he sent me? Is it where I am? Is there that call on my life that he's been saying many times, but as Emma said, perhaps we've sort of said, "Oh, that's not for now. That's not for me. I couldn't do that." Let's spend a moment in quiet reflection. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Lord, you are sending each one of us. Remind us again this morning what our task is for you. What is it that you want us to do? Where do you want us to go? Who do you want us to share Jesus with? Fill us with your Holy Spirit once again this morning. Amen.